accession number 11377, reel 18.
Mr. W. Bateman, reel 18. As things improved and the 8th Army advanced up the North African coast, did things get better for you on the island, Mr. Bateman?
Well, as far as food went, it was, yes. But and now also the air raids diminished. There was just an odd air raid now, and not so severe as it was before. And then the food got brought in, and when we got the rations up there, we were told not to make a pig of ourselves. We had to just gradually work ourselves into the... Because in 42, Christmas, we did have a Christmas, but Christmas dinner was very, very small. And we got some Christmas pudding and bits of chicken and that, and it had been, I think one of the convoys had got through, and it had got somewhat. And I think myself, some of the lads got some things sent from England. Some cakes and that, some were getting spice cakes sent through. Because it was coming through by air, the mail. But then they told us, be careful. They says, don't, you know you're hungry, and they say, you know it's a change of food you're getting now. He says, and it's more richer. He says, don't eat a great lot. He says, eat a little bit often. Mm. So we used to have a good breakfast and a good dinner. And for a change, we used to get a good tea. Because many times, tea was in the army then was nothing at all. It was more like a cup of tea and some fish cake. And for the dinners, there was what's called duff, sweet. We never used to get any during the raids, just a bare meal. And then we started getting rice pudding and tins of fruit. And up to us getting leaving, it was more like getting back nearly to normal. There was one or two convoys getting in, and they were getting loaded by the Maltese then. By the troops.
Then did you see anything of Lord Gort as commander? Did he visit you?
No. He never. Used to come round the area, but we never used to see him. He used to more like visit the airmen.
Had you had a change of commander whilst you were on Malta?
I think there was but I can't remember. I always just remember Lord Gort.
But your battalion commander. Did that change?
No, I don't think it did change. No. I can't remember now. I think myself, Adern, he got promoted. Yes, oh yes, there was. Was a change. He got promoted. He went to the Middle East and, what was his name? No, I didn't mention his name. Kirby. Major Kirby took over.
What was he like?
He was quite good. He was a nice fella. That's when I went and reverted my stripes to him.
How did that come about? You did have two stripes.
I did have two stripes, but we'd been out in the... I think it was just before, about a couple of months before we left Malta. We'd been down to Rabat and been on the tiles a bit. And we'd supposed to have had a 24-hour pass. Lieutenant Smith was a signal officer, and he'd forgot to sign the passes. And he'd left signal. Wait a minute, no, didn't go on a signal course. He joined the Special Air Service, the SES. They were just forming it then. And he says, he told us late. Because he said, he was quite a good chap and a nice fella that. He says, I'm going to see some action. He says, I'm seeing no action here. He says, that's why. He was a chap who was 6 foot two. Well, and also, he said, before he went, he says, I'm going to get you all to learn to ride a motorbike. So he says, I'm going to get two motorbikes, from an MT, they had two. And they got them. Because there was three, and I could drive motorbike. Because the others couldn't, from the young lads, but who'd trained, they hadn't been on a motorbike. He said, we're all going, and he said, we'll all get the light, because I hadn't a license. We hadn't any driving license, because in the desert, you never got a license. So, he said, because in Malta, you had one. So, he got us all the lads together, and we're there around. We spent, somewhere about maybe 2 hours a day for a week, going around the road in the camp, like the billets were. And he says, right on, he says, I'm going to test you. He says, I'll test you. So he put us all through a test. Right? He said, I'm going to put all the donars that have been driving motorbikes. He said, I'm going to put you through a test. And he said, I'm going to sign you. To stick it. And we all got a motorbike license. And I never kept it. When I came home, got demobbed. I never thought I would ride a motorbike again, so I'd like run out. Mm. So, that's getting away from the fact. Where did we get up to?
You were losing your stripes.
When they came back, we got the provost and caught us after midnight. So we were brought up, went to the company commander, said, well, he said, I can't try, he said, I have to go in front of the CO. So I went in front of the CO, I was charged with being absent and associating with private soldiers. So he said, Captain Bateman, do you still want to be an NCO, Captain Bateman? I says, no. I says, I don't think so. No, I don't want to be. Well, he jumped out the chair. So he says, march your Sergeant Major, march him out. So he marched me out, and they had a conference, the adjutant came out, says, march Captain Bateman in. So he went in, are you sure you want to be reverted to private soldiers? He says, yes, I. I said, I'll pack my stripes in. I said, you can now revert to your own request. So he says, right, or revert to your own request. So went out and I took my stripes off straight away. Went back to the signal platoon, and I was there a week. It came on orders that reverted, and I was a private soldier. So they says, oh, he says, sent us to a duty company. So they sent us to B company. And where Batter Ed was the next signal sergeant. He was a colour sergeant there. And he says, oh, he'll be all right. He says, I'm dying room orderly. So he put me in dying room orderly. So just before we moved from Malta, they realised they had no... The NCOs that was left in the signal platoon weren't instructors, weren't qualified instructors, and I was the only one left. But before that, they tried to get me to learn the sergeant, there was a sergeant came out the Essex Regiment, one of the duty companies, and they says, will you learn them to be, learn them in the signal? I said, well, I can't learn the sergeant because I'm a private. Oh. Well, he says, I said, I'm in B company. Oh, he says, well, so I put you back in the signal platoon again. And the other lads said, oh, welcome back, so I had to put him through his paces, I said, right, oh, I said, that's all I'm going to do, mind. I said, I'll put him through, I'll give him a... I said, the sergeant major said, as long as I was sergeant major, said, you'll never be a signal sergeant. Because Sergeant Brown had gone back to England for some reason or another. This signal sergeant, I learned them all I could do. So after that, I says, well, they says, you'll be all right. I says, they learn you more at the school. So he left. But how he got back to Egypt, I don't know. But he left the battalion and went. So then we got orders to start packing our equipment up that we were leaving. And we hadn't any idea where we were going to. And they said, they just...
What date was this?
July 43. But I can't tell you exactly the day or the date. But they said, we don't know where we're going, And so we packed all our things up and... they got all the signal equipment and everything, but the telephone lines we left, were just the wires we left. All we did was pick the instruments up, everything. And then we, tell the truth, I can't remember moving from the camp. I know we piled all the equipment onto these 15 underweight trucks, Morris Commercials. And because I think there was only about half a dozen trucks for the battalion, just account of being the fuel crisis, like. And so the fuel time, then we got down to the docks, and there was the old troop ship parked out, so we had to go out in board, on a, more like on a barge, to get on board the ship. And
were you seen off? Were the Maltese there?
No, we can't remember. No, there was nobody there, because we just went down these docks, no, some steps, and we just went on this barge, and there was the whole platoon of us went onto this, and the docker, I think the Maltese docker must have unloaded the wagons, and then they brought the signal equipment they were putting into hold by the crane of the ship, lifted them up and put them down the holds. And then I think we were there about 2 days, and then we set sail. We hadn't any clue where we were going. And then somebody, one of the crew, we were sailing out there, and this is, we're going to call it a Tripoli in Libya, to pick another convoy up. Because we thought we were going into Libya and disembark. They didn't. They set us off, so we picked this other convoy up. And then about a couple of days out, we were having breakfast, and I already heard this thump. And that one of the cargo boats, the other convoy, had been hit. And then when the sounded boat station, and instead of one big panic, each half a deck was sent up on the top in orderly manner, like the army. There was no... And that's when we saw the boat sinking. And we were told it really had been meant for the Nevassa.
Which was the boat you were on?
Where the boat we were on. Mm. But how they come to know that at all? Because this other boat was direct in line with us. Mm. And that's when this cruiser start. There was about five cruisers going round and round, dropping depth charges and hooting the whistles. The hooters and everything, like, and we saw the lot of the persons on the cargo boat. I think there were German and Italian prisoners going back to the Middle East. And then we, from then on, it's very vaguely, I can't remember, I think we sailed into sailed into Alexandria, and then we got, on the train, but they were all like cattle trucks, and they weren't posh carriages and that, they were just wooden seats. And we went from there through outskirts of Cairo, then to when we come through, we saw Muasca station. We said, oh, we remember this, like, we'd been here before. And then we went to Kantara, and I think myself, I think we kept on the train. I think they took us over the canal on the train. I can't remember whether we disembarked there and got on another train at the other side. So I know we went through, and we got a train, and when we got across the canal, we went straight on through Israel, right up into, that was just a place about... 6 or 7 miles from below Beirut into Syria, into Lebanon. And that's where we disembarked and camped. Had to fix over the road, no tents pitched, we had to pinch our own tents and everything there. And then we started doing a training, mountain climbing. There were some hills, and so we spent about a week there.
What was your role in this? Because obviously, if you're climbing mountains, you're going to have to carry signal equipment.
Well, carry signal equipment, but we never got to use it. All we did was more like visual flag signal.
Wasn't wireless?
No, there was no wireless. There was wireless, but we never got in touch with each other. Actually, this trailer was brought in all of a sudden. Just next morning, we all said that we're going to start manoeuvres.
Mm.
We're going to do some training. We found out that when it was, but I didn't know, like. And then when we finished this train, he said, now we're going to let you have some leave. So me and Joe Gay and Jakey Harper and another fella, I can't remember his name now, we went up into Beirut for five days holiday, 5 days leave, because we're going to spread it out. There was five from each, from the second platoon at a time, like we're going to go up. So we settled down on the beach there in the tent, and it was more like an RSC place, where the RSC was on the sands. So we spent a night. We got there about dinner time. We went out to Beirut at night time. Had a good time out in there, like good drunk, and then we came back to the camp. And then next morning, I got an orderly came in. He says, "Bateman here." I says, that's me. He says, well, you wanted on the phone. He says, your headquarters wants to speak to you. So I phoned got on the phone, like, and he says, there's a jeep coming for you. Get your kit packed and you could even bring broad back. I says, I'm on 5 days leave. Oh, never mind about that being cancelled. Yours has been cancelled. So when I got back to the battalion show, he said, you're going home. Oh, I said, that's good, like. I says, are we all going home? He says, no. He says, there's only about 14 of you going home. He says, you've all been abroad. And they've done you plenty of fighting. You've done your service. Because we'd been nearly 10 years abroad. So that was in September. So we packed handed all our gear in, like. And all our equipment and everything, rifle. And handed the rifle in. And all our blankets and that, and all we had was our bear kit and our kid bags. And so we went to a feared camp. They sent us down, went back to the train, back through Haifa and everything, bound to feared camp. And there was, got settled in there, and they said, oh, new drafter, right, oh, get ready, tomorrow you'll be going up the desert. We said, wait, I said, new draft. The Scotchman, they says, oh, he says, yes, he says, I says we've been down sent for Beirut. Oh, I says the sergeant says no. I says you're going up the desert. You says reinforcements to go to Sicily and that. So I says no, I can't be out like that. And so we all got together and we went to the order room and we saw the sergeant major. And this is well, we've got you down here, giraffe. So the somehow or other they got through to somewhere. So they inquired from somewhere, and then they got a message through to say that we weren't a new draft, because they were going to send us to a Scottish regiment. And they said, we don't want to go in a Scottish regiment. They said, we've been told we're going home. And they found, and after that they sent, well, we'll make inquiries, and then orders came and said, oh yes, this is you're going to be being sent home.
Do you remember the names of any of the men in your group?
Well, there was me, Geordie Sparrow, Wonga Ward, Pike, Thornthwaite, and I can remember now. And I think Pike was a corporal. And so we set off. Put us on a train and we collected some picked up at Moasca. Then we pulled into a side in just outside of Cairo, and they put another train on, carriage on. We ended up in Alexandria, and we said, well, there's no troop ship here. There was a great big P&O liner parked on the dockside, and There was a name, it was a Scottish name. What's the some town in Scotland, in the, on the Clyde somewhere? It was that name. Oh, no. Forget now the name it was. But it was the, it had been a big passenger liner, P&O liner, being kind of a troop ship, and it was docked there. And we were the first troops to come, we were all Mediterranean, back to England.
You'd left the battalion and you'd been with it a long time, and obviously you were keen to get back to England. What feelings had you about the battalion, leaving them?
Well, we just glad we were going home, see. Because, really, in the beginning, we'd lost a lot of our old pals, see, at the beginning, see. And a lot of them had got sick, and a lot of them had been wounded and everything, like. And there was, well, as they say in the signal platoon, there was only about six, our original ones gone, left back in.
What are your recollections of officers in the 1st Battalion whilst you were with them? Were there
quite
any
good,
particularly
yes.
outstanding ones that you liked?
Well, Fox Davis, Major Fox Davis, killed him, but I think he was killed at Caboose. He was a down-to-earth man. And Captain Keith, he was killed in just outside Tobruk. And some of the, there was a young officer came called Blakey. He came and joined us in, I think it was about November 41. He was, died of wounds after Caposo. But otherwise, Paddy Mayer, he's quite good. There was Major Captain Norman, he was the adjutant. And then there was Major Kirby, he was a captain there. He was I think it was a Major Kirby then.
Were these all officers that were
been
good?
In peacetime. And but this Lieutenant Blakey, wasn't he? He'd been recruited. He came out with the draft in 41. 1940, that was right. About November. And we were talking, like, and before he went into action. And this draft had come round right from around South Africa, away from South Africa, like right round the South Africa. Then there was Major Brown. He was an ex-RSM, ex-Sergeant Major. He was A Company.
Were there any officers who you took a dislike to, or took a dislike to you?
No, there was none. They were mainly peacetime officers. And, there was another one. What was his name now? I forget now. I seem to forget the names now, but they're dead now. And,
amongst the NCOs, any.
Well, there's one or two on? NCOs. There's Sergeant Brown. I couldn't get on with him. He was always fingering with the higher up to the RSM. He was always telling tales.
And he was the one that became an officer?
No, he got sent home from Malta. But I never liked. He was a telltale. That's how he got to be a sergeant. He knew nothing. He'd never been on a signal course. He hadn't been on a course to the Coast Solar Signal, and they made him a signal sergeant. He hadn't a clue. Because it was me when in the desert. I was there. Alive now, I was a private, but Corporal Close, he was in there. But when he got sent to a duty company, and he was taken prisoner in Caboose. And then there was Johnson, he's another NCO that was in the. He transferred to the commandos. Then there was a Lance Corporal from McCullough. He was a good signaller, because I was an NCO. I'd been an NCO in the 2nd Battalion, eh? But I packed my stripe in the cartoon. Again, I was played well with Captain Jeffries.
Were there any characters amongst the men themselves? That
oh yes, there was a funny fella called Bella Sharp in the 2nd Battalion. And then there was Malcolm. He used to do a lot of imitations. This Danscott Muckler, he transferred to the Airborne Division, and I think he was killed in the Arnhem with the 1st Airborne. Or was it the 6th Airborne that went over there? I don't know. And but we caught on quite well. We never had much to do with the duty officers, sergeants and NCOs and everything like. Because when you used to say the signal platoon, oh, it's the signal platoon, which is the elite, the lead platoon of the battalion. Mm. But peacetime, they were quite good, the peacetime NCOs and officers. Because we had the one in India, we had Clapton. He was quite good. He was a millionaire about three times over. He was killed in Normandy with the 8th Battalion. He was a major.
The new men that came in, the new drafts that came in over the time as you lost men and others took over.
Well, we did just what come as signallers, that's all. Then we got, there was a lad called Sammy Chadwick. He came, and then there was a big fella who was about 6'2". He was, we was called Tiny Wright. They came to be, in Malta, they came to be learned to be signals. And then there was a lad called Titchy Kirkbride. He was from Sunderland. He was only about 4'6". About 5 foot. He was only very small. And there was the Essex lads. There was one or two who came that had come in the Essex. But we didn't get to know them very well.
Did you tend as the regular element to keep together as a group?
Well, we got on well together. We settled down. We nearly all mucked in together. Because these Essex lads, we were surprised. This is Bennett and Bennett and Sanderson, a lad called Sanderson, and Bennett told us. He says we were surprised how they mucked in with us. Oh, we settled down and we got to know each other. There's no that feeling among us, because they were Southerners and we were Northerners. Mm. But what made me smile was that these Essex lads, this is all, wouldn't be seen dead in the north of England, and yet when they were wounded, some of them got wounded and they were sent to the north, and some of us, that chap that Sir Harry, what's his name now?
Davis.
He was the one who said he wouldn't be seen dead in North of England, and yet he come and stopped in England, in the North of England.
Mm. Well, was it emphasised often to you that you had to uphold the name of the battalion and the regiment?
Well, it was always, when we moved, we used to always get a lecture from the officers. To remember, this is the name of your regiment. This is must keep uphold of the... Think of the regiment when you were there. He said, don't get into trouble. When we used to go into such as Cairo, and when we had to leave in Alexandria, and even in peacetime when we used to go out, he says, remember, you're a Durham Light Infantry man. Mm. And he says, it's the regiment that gets the bad name. It isn't you who won't get the bad name. It'd be the regiment that gets the bad name. Mm. But as far as you've seen on some of these Americans, you know, and fighting among themselves in the barracks, that's one thing that we never did. If there was any rows, anybody wanted a row, and I disagreed, you used to always go to the sergeant, signal sergeant, in the gym, get the boxer gloves on. He said, we'll settle it that way. He says, don't upset the barrack room. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes had a bit of an argument, but there was no but we never had anybody from lawyers in the signal platoon. I don't know how it come, but they seemed to be a select. I think there were the conduct, you were selected for your conduct in the rifle battalion. Mm. But they never got me in the ring. They also used to went, especially when it was the depot. I said, no, I'm no boxing man, me. So, I had to get in the ring and I had to do some boxing, like, but I never used to I wasn't fussy about him out like that.